coming up 8 days from now is the NFL's first round of the draft, and the Panthers have the first overall pick. It is exciting to be a Panthers fan. Jim Zocchi from the Panthers Radio Network, at Jim Zocchi on Twitter, joins us. But first of all, thank you so much for being available on short notice. This is a big, it's obviously such a big day. We're coming up in 8 days, and it's so exciting for the Panthers and their fans to have this pick. Last time they had the first overall pick, they did pretty well with it. Before we get to the second round, what is your take on the, I guess, the angst over the size of Bryce Young?
Yeah, they were addressing it, Adam, yesterday at the press conference we were at with Scott Fitterer and Dan Morgan and the crew there. And, they feel like, you know, Scott comes from Seattle, so he's referenced Russell Wilson a couple of times, who's 1 inch taller than Bryce Young. His combine weight was the same, 204. I think a lot of people feel that Bryce Young drank a bucket of water to get to 204 at the combine. That's probably not his real weight and probably not sustainable for now. But, you know, as we all do, Adam, as we get older, we all age, we all get a little bit heavier. So I think they feel like in time he'll get a little more girth on him, and they can help him, obviously, in the weight room, nutritionally, all those kind of things. Like when you've got your high school son that needs to put on weight to play football all of a sudden. I mean, putting on weight's not the worst thing they have to do. So I think, you know, they feel like the fact they talk in such detail about it, they seem pretty set on that being, you know, what most people think it's going to be as far as their picks. So I think here that they're not concerned about that. The two passes that were batted down his last year in college are things they reference that he knows how to find passing lanes and how to free himself to throw. And again, something they can help him with their coaching staff.
By the way, before we get to the second round pick, you know, just going through the coaching staff, I mean, you got to give them incredible amounts of credit. That is, I mean, we could call it an all-star coaching staff, and it sounds hyperbolic, but it's kind of an all-star coaching staff, isn't it?
Well, especially quarterback-centric, right? With bringing in a recently retired player and Josh McCown to pair with a NFL quarterback head coach. Obviously, you guys know Jim Caldwell very well, and bringing in Thomas Brown and the Rams and all they've done with their successes. So, yeah, he's got a village of great people. Then a veteran guy, 35-year-old Andy Dalton, who's had really good success in his past with the Bengals when he was a starter in this league. So he's got a wealth of people around him, smart football people. And I think they'll also, beyond all that, know how to bring him at the right rate of speed. You know, whether he starts day one or not will be up to them. But whatever that decision is, he's got smart people making all those decisions around him.
Jim Zocchi is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right. We know they're going quarterback with their first pick. Do we anticipate that they add a wide receiver, even though they did really well with Adam Thielen and DJ Chark? I mean, even kind of the you know, bringing back Damir Bird has some value to it as well. What do you think they do with their second pick?
I think, you know, what they've set themselves up to do is not to reach for any one position that they can really follow their draft board and fill various needs. When Scott Fitterer was asked yesterday about, you know, where else are you looking in this draft after you get your quarterback? And again, I'm not saying it couldn't be C.J. Stroud, just to kind of backtrack that a little bit. Just a lot of focus is on Bryce Young. But I think C.J. Stroud, I'm not ruling that out either. But I would say, I want to say Terrace Marshall does in year three. To me, it's not make or break, but he started to show some big play potential last year. So add him into the mix with who you mentioned, with the veteran Thielen, the speed guy Chark, bring him back Damir Bird. Laviska Shenault obviously does some things in the right setting when you use him the right way as a physical wide receiver who can block. So I don't think they have to reach for a receiver, but there is no DJ Moore, and that's huge. So I think they'll look that way. Or another compliment as a pass-catching tight end to bringing in Hayden Hurst, because it happens to be a very good tight end draft, that there will be some guys depth-wise, may not be second round, but third round or so forth, where you can find a really quality young tight end to pair with what you got with Tommy Tremble and some of the guys there.
You know, what's funny is that about, I would say, 2 months ago, I was looking at mock drafts that had Darnell Washington from Georgia, like in the third round, and now I see him in the last third of the first round in some places, because the more you look at him, the more you go, well, how is this guy not going to be good?
And how does Georgia have so many really good tight ends?
Players. It doesn't make a difference what position they play at Georgia. They're all future NFL players.
Yeah, even the backup tight end is like a future Pro Bowl guy probably there too. But yeah, it kind of speaks to the strength again of what you're saying of the depth of certain positions in this draft. And Scott, again, the first thing he got out of his mouth was, it doesn't mean this is like their first need, but you know, he said edge rusher. He mentioned wide receiver. Depth on the offensive line because they do have their starting five back once they're healthy, but not initially, maybe with some of the guards who got injured late in the year. But I think a corner because there's got to be some concern, obviously, about Dante Jackson coming back from the Achilles. And we don't know about C.J. Henderson being good all the time. He's got ups and downs. Right. So how smooth and level is his game consistently opposite a really good J.C. Horn? So I would think a young corner would be really – attractive. I think if someone like Cam Smith out of like South Carolina, if he happens to be around that spot, he's projected as maybe a early second round guy in some drafts. That might be a possibility.
Jim Szoke is joining us. Just kind of expanding more on the defensive side. Somebody opposite DJ Burns, maybe somebody else in the middle of the defense, whether it's defensive line or even as a linebacker, a run stopper. Where are there holes to fill on that side of the ball still?
Certainly edge rusher would be the other one. And it sounds like they're going to keep Brian Burns around with a big contract extension. So you want that complimentary piece that you once had and no longer have because of, again, looking at the budget and trying to keep who they could in the past. Derek Brown, obviously they're very high on the way he bounced back last year after being a little uneven his previous year. They brought in kind of that big one-stopper guy in Deshaun Williams in free agency.
Right.
And Chai Tuttle can do some things along the line. But now you're getting into the depth of what you're talking about, where you could draft a guy in one of those middle rounds to, again, fill out that rotation. Every team likes to have, again, this is not a 4-3, but a 3-4. But in theory, just to generalize, you like have four edge rushers, four middle guys. So you just rotate in and out and keep them fresh. So I think that's what they're looking for, more or less. And, again, being a 3-4 team, that's a base. They're not always going to be in a 3-4. I think Frankie Lubu was somewhat of a breakout player last year. So if he progresses again as an edge linebacker, hybrid kind of a guy, I think a guy like Frankie Lubu could be really valuable in terms of what he brings.
I'm glad you brought him up because he was basically a special teams guy 2 years ago, and they brought him back, and you'll love the energy, and then he takes the next step and goes from a special teams guy to a guy who seems like he can play in all situations, in every a three-down linebacker. Did they get lucky there, or did they see something that maybe other people didn't?
I think he just earned it. I mean, people get tired of hearing some of these cliches. He's just a good practice guy, even, like on Wednesdays and Thursdays and things like that. So he's just a hardworking, good kid who took an opportunity and grew. So I think, yeah, you throw, in camp, right, 80, 90 players at the wall, you see which 53 are going to stick. And I think he's just one of those guys that took his reps and his snaps seriously and has the abilities to back it up. So where opportunity meets ability is where he is. I think Frankie Lubu is one of those guys that wasn't as high profile but is growing into a nice NFL football player. And like you said, I'm glad they brought him back with a 2-year contract last year, and he could really solidify his, NFL career and future by kind of growing it from here. We've seen guys, obviously, every year, first, second round, just complete flops, and they're just only on the roster because they think, well, we got to give it another chance that an undrafted guy wouldn't get if they were drafted that high. But Frankie Lubu's done it the hard way.
Two things for Jim Szoke, and then we'll say goodbye. The first is, what of all the moves they made, and I mean, let's exclude trading from 9-1 to get the first overall pick. Which did you like the most? Which do you think will have the biggest impact?
I think, the biggest star, clearly, to me, is Miles Sanders. I mean, this is talk about a money ball situation. As great as Christian McCaffrey is, one of the top running backs in the league, not in the budget. They build the, champagne taste on a beer budget. I mean, it's $16 million a year running back versus a $6.5 million per year running back. He's coming off a Pro Bowl season and 1,200 yards and 11 rushing touchdowns. And earlier in his career, was a pass receiving threat, and I think they could revitalize that here in this offense, and more than the 20 catches he had in Philadelphia. They didn't need him to do that with getting well in the players they had in Philadelphia. So I think Miles Sanders is the biggest attraction to me out of everything that they've done in that position. And I do think Hayden Hurst will be huge for them because it's just been just a non-pass receiving position since the days of Greg Olsen, basically. So They talk about Ian Thomas and some other guys, but nobody ever catches more than 20 passes in a year and never for any big production. So I think a veteran guy who's still got a lot of tread on the tire, and Hayden Hurst will be any quarterback's helper, whether it's Andy Dalton filling in or one of these two young quarterbacks projected to go at the top. I think Hayden Hurst and a pass-catching tight end and something that Frank Reich's always had in his offenses, I think will have a bigger impact than that position's had in a long time here.
All right, Jim Szoke, you're a legend in Charlotte. Tell me, as we say goodbye, tell me what this move to get number one has meant to the organization and meant to the fans heading into this year.
Yeah, I think there's a buzz and there's an excitement. It was about as down as I can recall in Matt Rhule's last game, that thumping from the San Francisco 49ers on an otherwise sunny afternoon. It was in a sea of red and Niners fans jerseys all over that stadium. And that was it. That was the last game of that. And that was just really the kind of the darkest moment. I think now they have hope. I think there's excitement. And it'll be a while before we know, whichever quarterback they pick, how they pan out in their career. We're still trying to figure out how good Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold might possibly be as they enter year five or six of their career. So I think it'll sell hope. Either one of these guys is going to be a good kid with a lot of abilities, and hopefully that pans out. But for the time being, to answer your question, I think it's created a lot of buzz and excitement and something that's been lacking for a while here.
There is no question it has created a lot of excitement for the fans of the Carolina Panthers. And look, I know a lot of diehard Panthers fans that are still a little questionable about their confidence level is still not high, but at least there is interest. And the worst thing that could happen in professional sports, apathy. And that stuff seems to be gone. Jim Szoke, I appreciate your time, sir. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.